You're worthy to be praised, God. And not only that, but to the woman of God, co-pastor Carpenter. Let's give God. Amen, amen. Amen. And not only to that, but to the love and my very, very best friend, Evangelist Pam Seals. Amen. Amen, amen. And certainly to all of our pastors, elders, ministers, deacons, members and friends, truly God is good.
Amen.
You didn't hear me. God is good.
Amen.
Amen. I was listening to Pastor Carpenter as he was introducing me, and I've been knowing him for 35 plus years. Amen. And I can't begin to tell you, amen, there's no word in the English vocabulary, amen, that can express my love, amen, to my elder brother. He has certainly been a blessing, amen, to my ministry, amen. I think back to my licensing service, he was there, the ordination service, he was there. See, one thing that the Word of God is clear about, the Bible says that God is raising up a new generation, and they will know us by the love that we have one another. So again, I thank you, sir, and I thank co-pastor also. Amen, amen. Now that we have got by the preliminaries, it's time for the Word of God. Amen, somebody. It's time for the Word of God. You have probably heard me say this. I'm a one-word, one-line specialist. I don't believe in talking you to death. Amen, amen. So if you have your Bibles, if you don't mind standing, amen, I was sharing with Pastor Stanley in my office, is that, and you can turn to Isaiah, the 46th chapter. We're going to begin at verse 9. And I was sharing with Pastor Stanley as we were sitting down and talking. I said that when you begin to look at the epitome of our society, you see that things is not getting better. Amen. And there are so many people that are giving up on their vision, giving up on their mission, giving up on their dream. And I just want to encourage you through the Word. It's one thing when the Word of God, and I know that the Word of God is being preached and talked here, but I just want to encourage the people of God tonight. Is that okay?
Amen.
Amen. So again, we want to call your attention to Isaiah, the 46th chapter, verse 9, beginning at verse 9. When you have it, won't you indicate it by saying amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Word of the Lord reads, remember, somebody say remember.
Amen.
Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Look at somebody and say, like me. Like me. It says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient time, the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel, meaning my purpose. Look at somebody and say, my purpose. My purpose shall stand, and it says, I will do all my pleasures. If I was just to use for a thought subject or theme for this evening, it shall stand.
All right.
Other words, what God has put in you, that vision, that dream, that idea, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it shall stand. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the precinct in the presence of the Lord. It shall stand. Let us pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, God. God, we bless you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, just for your grace and we thank you, Lord, for your mercy right now, God. God, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, God, to preach the gospel, God. God, we know that words are already ordered in heaven, God. Now, and as they're uttered over clay, God, speak to your people, God. God, hide me behind the cross. God, allow Andre, God, to decrease as you increase, God. Get your glory right now, God. Now, God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Come on, once more, give God a praise offering if you're glad to be here. It shall stand. The Bible makes it very clear in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, verse 7, that the chief end of man is to glorify God. In other words, you were created to praise and worship God. You were not created for profanity. You were not created for gossip. You were not created for murmur and complain, but you were created to praise and worship God. See, in fact, the Bible says in Luke, the 19th chapter, verse 40, he said that if you don't praise God, the rocks will cry out. That's why the Bible says, let everything that have breath, what? Praise the Lord. In other words, the heavens are telling the glory of God to praise him. Birds praise songs to him in the morning. The twinkling of a star, the brilliance of the moon, it all declares the glory of God. Hallelujah. But if you're going to be a worshiper, look at somebody and say, a worshiper. See, I don't know about you, but I don't know where I would be today if I was not a worshiper. See, I don't know, again, see, worshipers are that elect group of people whom the Father seek to worship him. And see, I found out that real worship, look at somebody and say, real worship. See, real worship will take you from the outer court to the inner court, through the veil, and into the holies of holies. I'm talking about real and genuine worship. See, real worship will cause you to mess up your hair. See, real worship will cause you to dance out of your shoes. See, real worship will cause you, what, baby, to run around the church. See, real worship will cause you to leap up and down when the organ has stopped playing and a drum beam. I'm talking about real worship. See, praising God embraces what God has done for you. That's praising God. Other words, it pays tribute to God. Other words, I thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the activity of my limbs and the articulation of my speech. God, I thank you, Lord, for being in my right frame of mind. See, again, praising God is thanking God for what God has done. But guess what? See, we lose a lot of people, Pastor. But see, worship goes a little deeper than that. In other words, if I didn't have any shoes to put on my feet, I will what? Still, what? Bless you. In other words, if I didn't have no food on my table, God, I will still bless you. See, when you worship God, you quit talking about what he has done and you embrace who he is. Hallelujah. You start telling him that God, you're holy. Have you ever gotten to the point when you was in your private worship time and you started romancing the God and you said, God, you're holy. And not only, God, are you holy, but you're holy, holy. You begin to say, oh, Lord, hi, Lord, how excellent is your name. How majestic is your name. And I'm talking about worship. See, not only were we created to praise and worship God, and not only did God save you and sanctify you, and I know Church of God in Christ, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not only did God give you spiritual gifts and talent, but guess what? God has also predestined. In other words, settled beforehand, foreordained a plan for you to fulfill your divine purpose and your destiny. That's what I really come to preach about this afternoon. See, the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And see, the Hebrew word for the word knew is yada, which means intimately, baby, guess what? He was acquainted with you. Hallelujah. So God was intimate with us before we were ever formed. Good God Almighty. In our mother's womb. That means, guess what? You were not an accident nor a mistake. You were planned in the mind of God before you were ever released here on planet Earth. Can I preach this thing this evening? See, God has a purpose for you. He has ordained you. He has sanctified you. He has called you. But most of all, he has chosen you. Look at somebody and say, he's chosen thee. Good God Almighty. He has chosen me. See, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 that we were chosen in him before the foundations of the earth. So guess what? Way before I became pastor so-and-so, or you became evangelist so-and-so, brother so-and-so, while you were sitting out on in Smokey's bar, guess what? God chose. Good God.
Well.
God chose you. She, have you ever wondered why when you went in for surgery and you was lying on the operating table and the doctors had pronounced that you would die? You know the reason why you didn't die? Because God chose you. There were some of us that have been in an automobile. When you looked at the automobile after you came to your senses, you said that automobile should have took me out. You want to know why you're still here, baby? Because guess what? God has what? He has. You want to know why you didn't lose your mind, have a nervous breakdown and commit suicide while you was going through that state of depression? You want to know why? Because God. Look at three people and say, He has chosen you. He has chosen you. See. Other words, beloved, guess what? You are destined for greatness.
Fix it up. My God.
You are destined. That's why Jeremiah 29 verse 11 said, God said, for I know the thoughts, the plan, the course of life for you. They are thoughts of peace, not even to give you an expected end. Other words, a future hope. Hallelujah. See, God is saying, I already have a course of life to give you an expected end. And see, the word expected end means things hoped for, things desired, an expectation. God is saying that I'm going to give you the outcome. I don't know who needed to hear that on this evening, but God said on tonight, He's going to give you the outcome. In other words, He's going to give you the outcome on your job. He's going to give you the outcome on your marriage. He's going to give you the outcome in your community. He is going to give you the outcome. I'm going to give you the thing that you've been designed. I'm going to give you that thing that you've been hoping for. Hallelujah. See, that's why you can't afford, baby, to get, what's your name, to get discouraged right now. See, some of you, the devil have told you that your ministry, your dream, your calling, your idea was not going to come to pass. But how many know that the devil is a liar? Because guess what? Because God is faithful to His word. If He said it, baby, guess what? It's going to come to pass, because great is what? The faithfulness. If you allow me, how many South Philly people we have in here today? Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know. A lot of us know Brother Morris Scott. I know he's known all over the city of Philadelphia. I'll never forget when he used to come down to St. Matthew's to some home-going services, funerals, etc. He used to always sing the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Hallelujah. And see, when I was a kid, I didn't understand when he meant like that. Because, Co-Pastor, it didn't have a Kirk Franklin beat to it. It didn't have a Donald Lawrence beat. It didn't have a Todd Trippett beat. But when I got into a covenant, personal relationship with God, I started realizing, when you start talking about God's faithfulness, don't you know, baby, that the alarm clock didn't wake you up this morning? It was because of what? God's faithfulness. Hallelujah, God. The reason why the seasons change and you're able to predict them is because of what? God's faithfulness. The reason why the sun came up this morning is because of what? God's faithfulness. The reason why the moon comes out at night is because of what? God's faithfulness. For heaven, anybody in here that can just praise God for His faithfulness. Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Kingdom citizens, God has impregnated you with vision, dream, with a mission, with a ministry, and you got to be confident that it's going to come to pass. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, it says, being confident of this one thing, that He which have begun a good work in you will perform. And that word perform means complete. Hallelujah. Until the day of Jesus Christ. See, you don't realize that your footsteps, as Psalms 37 verse 23 says, your footsteps are being ordered by the Lord. I know some of you are going through a dark cloud right now, but you have to realize that God is orchestrating your life. In other words, He is preparing you for something great. You ain't hear what I'm saying. Some of you are being prepared for something great. That's why you can't give up right now. Hallelujah. You can't throw in the towel, because He is preparing you for something great. See, one thing I found out about church folk, we don't know what it is to go through anymore. Hallelujah. We don't know what it is to grow grab a horn of the altar, hallelujah, and be like Jacob, I'm not going to let you go, baby, until you bless me. See, if God haven't blessed us in a week, we're letting go. If he haven't blessed us in a month, guess what, baby, we are letting go. But how many of us, baby, are willing to wrestle with God until he bless us? Have you gotten to the point that enough is enough, God? I'm sick of being a trickster. I'm sick of being a kind of... Somebody ought to bless God in here. Hallelujah. You can celebrate that you're still here. I'm starting to feel my preacher now. Hallelujah. See, I want you to understand that regardless of what you're going through, God is not oblivious to your pain and suffering. So he's not lacking in memory. A lot of the time we say, oh God, God, I'm going through this pain. Where are you? Where are you, God? He knows. Look at your neighbor and say, he knows. See, Psalms chapter 103, verse 14 said that he knows how much you can bear. Hallelujah. For he knoweth our frame, and he knows that we are dust. That's why the Bible says in Job chapter 8, verse 7, it says, though thy beginning was small, it says, yet, hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, yet. Yet thy latter end shall greatly, oh my God. It said it shall greatly, what, increase. Look at your neighbor and say, increase. I don't think they heard you say increase. Hallelujah. See, you don't know. You got to get ready for increase. See, some of you, I'll never forget that Pastor Carpenter said that it ain't no such thing as going to the next level. God wants you to go to a new dimension. And I'll never forget that he said one time, some of us are always praying to go to the next level or next dimension, but some of us ain't even doing anything where we are right now. But you got to prepare yourself for increase. Hallelujah. Beloved. See, you have to know that there is something ahead of you. God has destined you. And see, again, some of us are on the potter's wheel being made this very moment. And like I tell my folks, don't miss your moment. Because see, everything with God is timing. Hallelujah. Everything with God is timing. That's why Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, verse 1, says to everything there is a season and time. And see, the problem is some of us, we run before our time. Hallelujah. See, let me tell you something. Some of us, see, where God plants you, you ought to grow. Hallelujah, God. You ought to grow where God has planted you. Hallelujah. See, that's why a lot of times, you know, we're cautious as pastors when you go certain places. Because I know a whole lot of folks have gotten messed up because guess what? They have ran before their times. Hallelujah. So again, to everything, there is a season and time. See, it's in those seasons that we go through when we start to distrust God. When we're going through, again, God, where are you, Lord? Where are you? See, it's in those seasons when we're going through where the enemy will try to delay or hinder you. Good God, amen. From fulfilling your purpose in life. See, the enemy, listen here, the enemy cannot stop us because we are destined. However, he can delay and hinder us, as is demonstrated in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. Listen to what Paul said. Paul said, I was hindered by Satan. Hallelujah. And see, the word hindered there in the Greek means to impede or to hamper or to obstruct. Hallelujah, God. And see, again, it literally means to cut a trench in the road to try to hinder what? A destined child of God. But as a child of God, you got to find a way to devise your way around the obstacles. Hallelujah, God. And see, again, while you are going through those seasons, you have to trust God, because the Bible says in Psalms 40, verse 4, it says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. So again, it's in those seasons again where we say, God, where are you? I want to say something so profound that the Spirit of the Lord gave me, and I have shared this a lot of times with our church. When God is silent, In other words, when he ain't saying a word, Minister Wood, he is not standing around. Good God Almighty. Did you hear what I said? When God ain't saying a word, baby, when he is silent, oh, he ain't standing around. See, let me tell you something. God does his best work in silence.
Watch it.
You ain't hear what I said. He does his best work in silence. How do you know, Pastor? How many of us heard the sun come up this morning? You ain't hear what I'm saying. How many of us heard the moon come out at night? How many of us just experience when you've seen a brand new day coming to his end? God does his best work in silence. So when he ain't said a word, baby, don't think that he ain't behind the scenes doing something on your behalf. Don't think that he's behind the scenes fighting your battle. See, God is, he's making and molding you into what he wants you to be. He's taking the pieces and the components, and he's taking the brokenness and Holy Ghost. Help me preach it, Lord. He's taking your brokenness and mending it, and he's taking the bitter and the sweet. He's taking the sunshine and the rain, and it's all adding up to increase. Hallelujah. See, and I'm almost out your way. See, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 11, it says, the Lord said that he's going to make you 1,000 times greater than what you are right now. Hallelujah. In other words, he's saying that this process, hallelujah, you are going through, it's going to make you 1,000 times better than what you are. You think you are something now, but baby, wait till God get finished. And see, you sense it because he has shown you in the beginning what your end is going to look like.
My God.
You didn't hear what I said. He has showed you in the beginning and what your end is going to look like. I'll never forget again, Pastor and I was talking, Pastor Stanley and I, and Pastor has said something very profound. He said, isn't it amazing? God never shows you that middle part. Hallelujah. He will show you the beginning, and he will show you at the end. If you knew the hell that you had to go through, some of you would throw up your hands. Hallelujah, God. See, I found out something, that when you are going through a valley experience, baby, you got to keep on moving. One thing that I found out, some of us are going through some valley experience, and you can't get settled. You can't take up residence. I know you're hurting. I know you're in the pain, but you got to keep on moving. Hallelujah. What did David say? David said, yay, though I walk through the... Somebody give God a praise. Give God a praise right now. In other words, you got to keep on. You got to keep on moving. Hallelujah, God. See, it's coming. Hallelujah, it's coming. Hallelujah, the thing that you've been praying for, the thing you've been fasting for, it's coming. And now to my text. And I'm going to take my seat. Declaring the end from the beginning.
Go ahead.
And from ancient times to things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand. God is saying, who can stop what I planned? Hallelujah. Who can stop? God is saying here that again, that the vision, the dream, the idea, the ministry I put in you, he said that it shall stand. So stop having sleepless nights. Stop the tossing and turning. Hallelujah, God. Because see, I found out for every blessing, there is testing. For every opportunity, there is adversity. See, a lot of times the devil will try to send an assignment to mess your mind up, telling you that you have blown it. You're not qualified. But the devil is a liar, because the Bible says, for a just man falleth seven times, but he what? Keep on getting back up. Hallelujah, God. You got to get to the point that enough is enough. I've been in the hall pinned for too long, God. I've been sleeping all crazy at night. But let me tell you something, and I'm going to my seat. Some of you, I need a young person, just real quick. Somebody young, come. Hey, man, come help me. Come on, pretty, hurry up, baby. Lay down on the floor, baby. Brother, I know you're young. So many of us, the devil has said that we'd never amount to anything. We'll never be anything. You're not qualified. They don't appreciate you. They don't appreciate your ministry. And a lot of us, you can see yourself in the spirit like this. And some of you don't even realize that the devil is standing over you with a 10 count.
Come on.
He wants to destroy your vision. He wants to destroy your mission. He wants to destroy your goals. Hallelujah. But how many of you are willing to get back up? Hallelujah. Can you imagine the enemy saying, one, you'll never amount to anything. Two, you'll never be anything. Three, hallelujah, God, you ain't fit for the kingdom. Five, but isn't it amazing how they say he may not come when you call him, but he's all on time. Somebody say that he can reach way down. Give me a hand, baby. See, when you think that you are at wit's end, God have a way of taking your hand. When the devil thinks that he got you, baby, that he's ready to destroy you, he might be at seven right now, but you'll find yourself on your knees. I got a destroyer because she's making me nervous. She's a woman of purpose. She's a woman of destiny. When he gets to eight, and sometimes he gets to nine, but God can come at the last moment and pick you up. Thank you. Let me say this. It shall stand. And the true mark of a champion is not that he get knocked down, but he get back up. Give God a praise offering right now. I'm done with it.